There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. You guys, what a day. What a week, what a day. I've had a day already. Like, I'm recording this. This is early evening, and I've already been in two car accidents with stationary items. Like, I was in two car accidents today. Not with other people, not with other moving vehicles. Simply with stationary items in two different parking garages. You would think after I hit one pillar in a parking garage, that would have been it. However, I continued to come home and then hit a pillar in my own building. I'm not a great driver. I always feel like I'm driving on Rainbow Road from Mario Kart. Like, I'm always like worried I'm going to fall off. Like, I should not be behind the wheel of a car. And the good news is I don't normally hit other people or other moving things. I just hit things that are clearly right in front of me or behind me and that aren't moving. So luckily everything's okay, but it did shake me up. Normally, like, one accident would have just kept going. Today it was like the second one that kind of shook me up. Not only that, but I'm feeling like an extra bit of excitement and nerves because not only did we get a lot of new listeners in the past couple of weeks, we also got one important new listener, and that's my mother. She normally does not listen to this show. However, when I had Jerry O'Connell on, she loves Jerry O'Connell because of his, you know, fill-ins on Live with Kelly. So she did listen to the episode, and she had plenty of notes. She gave me a whole slew of notes. She thought it was like a little too vulgar, a little too, you know, she thinks I have a little bit of a potty mouth, which I never thought that I did until I started this podcast. And then I was literally thinking in the back of my head, my mom's telling me about how she thought the Jerry O'Connell episode was like a little too vulgar. And I'm thinking in the back of my head, like, good thing you didn't listen to one of the ones where I said Chris Hemsworth should like that. Thank God for that. But, you know, she was saying that, like, she's like, why did you have to talk about some guy named David Bedore and how you want to them? And I was like, Mom, like, it just came up. What do you mean? Like, it just came up in conversation. She's like, how does that just come up? I'm like, that's all I think about, Mom, is like when I think about housewives and sex. But she thought I should use like the censor bars. Like, she thought that, you know how in movies and stuff or on TV when they air something on network TV and they have to put in the censor bar? She said that I should use those. And I was like, I don't even know where I would put those. Like, I don't think occasionally maybe I'll say the F word a little bit. But for the most part, I don't think we're that, like, I think we're pretty tame on Everything Iconic, you know, but she was saying I should put them on. She thought I should use it for the word sex. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, it's not like I said fuck. Like, she didn't even think, she thought I should just put them over the word sex. And I'm like, that it would make me sound crazy. Like, I'm a crazy person. But then, like always, I tried to flip this around and make it a positive. And I did start to think about it more. And I don't know if you guys have seen online, there's those videos of like Disney songs and Disney movies and stuff. Or animated, whatever, people on YouTube, they put the censor sound into random things. There's a great video from the movie Frozen of that song, Do You Want to Build a Snowman? And somebody put in the censor bar, so it sounds like they're singing, Do You Want to Snowman? And it's so, so funny. And I was thinking, like, what if I just did that for the podcast? Like, maybe I should just start putting the censor bar in at random, at just anywhere. Any old place. And so, you know, this week I might just do that. I might just sprinkle a couple in just for Linda. I don't know if I'll put them over the fucks, but I'll put them over some other stuff just to see, just to spice things up, but keep everyone on their toes. But I don't think we're that vulgar. I mean, occasionally, do I say Henry Cavill should yes. Do I wish? Maybe I am. You know, and I want everyone to have a good time when they listen to all the new listeners. I want everyone to feel included and happy, and I want this to be a little bit of a ray of sunshine for everyone's day, and we can laugh and at all this nonsense. But you know what? I also like to be a little bit risque. You know, I like to be sex positive, and But so to all the new listeners, I want to say that on Mondays are typically our pop dives, which is an episode about one specific topic. Usually it's like nostalgia based, but it's about one specific thing. And then our Thursday episode's all about Bravo, current events, all that kind of stuff. So welcome to all our new listeners. We have a lot to talk. We have a lot to cover today. We have to talk about The Real Housewives of Orange County, which was a tough episode for me to watch. I mean, that scene where Kelly Dodd was laughing at her daughter in the theater class, like that gave me like a little bit of PTSD. I felt like she was bullying me. Like, I literally felt like she was bullying me. And it was tough to watch. I was laughing, but I also was, it was like one of those like nervous laughters. Like, not the kind of laughter she was doing at the children, but it was a nervous laughter as I was watching it. So we're going to talk about that. Chris Baker is going to come out and recap Orange County with me. And then we also have a very special guest from the Real Housewives of Dallas. We have Stephanie Holman, who's quickly becoming one of my all-time favorite Real Housewives. I mean, she's so bright, sunny, fun. But she's also opening up about her anxiety, her depression, her mental health in a way that we rarely see on these Housewives franchises. And it's just so refreshing. It's so honest. And I'm really loving her. Not to mention that her house spa, like that whole bathroom, is insane. It's beautiful. So after our Orange County chat, we'll talk to Stephanie and we'll talk a little bit about this week's Real Housewives of Dallas. What else do we have to talk about? We do, my birthday is next week, October 9th. I'm turning 3 years old. And I promise I'll use the sensor bar sparingly throughout the rest of the episode. Sorry, I'm so annoying. If anyone cares. That's what the car accident stuff. I felt like today I tried to think, like, why is this happening to me? You know, like, how, what's the reason that the universe is making me run into these pillars in these garages? what does God want? You know, what direction is he trying to steer me in? Obviously, he's trying to steer me in the wrong direction as I keep hitting these stationary items. But I was trying to think, what is happening? And I realized that it's because next week's my birthday. So I feel like I'm getting kind of a rough week this week. Do you know what I mean? So that next week could be really good. It's like karma. Karma's coming back around. We've had some bright spots this week. We've had the Real Housewives of Atlanta trailer came out, which I'm cautiously optimistic about it. I didn't think the trailer looked all that great. However, lately I've noticed the trailers aren't filled with lots of dramatic stuff. I feel like they're holding on to a lot of the drama for the seasons lately. Hopefully it's good. We're going to talk more Housewives. I want to bring out Chris Baker to recap Orange County. Before I do, I want to encourage everyone. I mentioned we are doing these pop dives every Monday. There's an exclusive pop dive on our Everything Iconic Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com/everythingiconic, you get access to all the bonus episodes. So we have an exclusive pop dive of the show The Comeback with Lisa Kudrow from HBO. There's a full-length pop dive over on Patreon. And then I'm also doing recaps of the early seasons of The Real Housewives in New York. You can listen to all the Roni recaps over on patreon.com/everythingiconic. And you can access all of those for $4 more per month. Plus, that money goes to helping to make this podcast. So that's really how I'm able to make it. So I'd encourage everyone to go do that. Please follow me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. And on Facebook, it's facebook.com/PellegrinoDanny. Please join the Everything Iconic Facebook group. Just search Everything Iconic, the Cynthia Swan Crisis Center for Pop Culture Lovers. And then what else? Please rate and review this on iTunes if you like it. Without further ado, we are going to bring out the talented Chris Baker to recap The Real Housewives of Orange County. And then afterwards, that's when we'll talk to Stephanie Holman from The Real Housewives of Dallas and talk all things Dallas. All right, guys, I'm here with Chris Baker. Chris, how are you doing?
Hello, my gay boys.
Hello, gay boys.
I'm good. How are you, Danny?
I'm so excited that you're here.
Thank you for having me. I feel like I can always talk about this. So to be able to talk about it, you know, with other people to listen, right, is just wonderful.
You have a very smooth voice.
I've heard that I have some Afrin running through my whole self right now. So I think that makes everything a little smoother.
Wait, are you sick or just Afrin allergies?
No. Allergies.
Right. Bad time.
There are no seasons except for, I think, this season when it just gets, it's still hot, but something else is happening. And
I have terrible allergies and I feel like I always sound nasal. So it's always like I'll be calling someone. And it's the most horrible thing when somebody's like, are you sick? And you're like, no, I'm not sick.
This is just my voice. This is just how I sound.
Or when I was younger, I remember like someone would call and they'd be like, can I speak to your sister, ma'am? Or like,
that's God, I get that all the time.
When you get a ma'am.
I had this guy who, for some reason, he was a horrible bully. And for some reason, we were always paired together for like a bunch of like history and science projects. And I remember he would call my apartment where I lived in New York, and he would pick up and he thought it was my sister or my mother. And he'd just be like, but he hated me so much. So he would just be like, hi, can I speak to Chris? It was so mean. And I'd be like, it's me, Will. So yeah. So wait, guys, I'm sorry. I just saw it out of the corner of my eye. You have a GIF of Gwyneth Paltrow in the classic movie Contagion, convulsing.
Where?
It was on that shifting screen. Okay.
So you're saying the video Alexa that's on my desk, you saw a Gwyneth Paltrow GIF on the video screen, correct?
It was literally my eye just wandered over to his desk, and it's a convulsing Gwyneth Paltrow staring back at me on a hospital bed.
Wait, Chris, we might need to put so let me just explain this. I need to put like a cover in front of here.
Paint them a picture. Paint the listeners a picture.
The listeners know that I have all these robot things in my house, and I hate them all. Like, they're all haunting me. Literally, because my boyfriend, he like set up the whole house to like do everything automated.
That's like my boyfriend.
So we have
a bunch of light up stuff,
right? And I can't even say their names, but it's the Alexa.
Oh, okay.
She'll listen. But anyway, literally right before you came, I have the video one here in the office, and right before you came, I noticed, I was like, oh my god, it's scrolling through photos from my phone, which I have no idea.
But
how
that
it
one was alive, so you have a
right,
gift.
So it was like gifts.
Her shaking.
It
oh
must just
god.
Be everything from my phone. So like, I don't. I just put up. I just blocked it because we don't know what'll pop up.
I love her so much. So I actually do. It was funny to me because I love her. It wasn't funny to me because like everyone hates her except for me.
No, I love her too.
I love her so much.
I do. What do you love about Gwyneth Paltrow? Fuck this episode of the Orange County. It's boring.
So I am, I'm from New York, and I think she was like, when I was growing up, she would be shooting movies in New York all the time, mm-hmm. and she lived in New York, and just like her being just the coolest she was like one of our own, you know, like Lady Gaga eventually was.
Sure.
Like, you support the New Yorkers. And I found that she was just so beautiful and just so blonde and rich. And she didn't care what anybody thought of her.
Right.
And I think she chose that Contagion role to like troll everybody. That's what I think.
I actually, have you listened to her? She has a podcast. She's great at
She's amazing.
Yeah.
That thing, I have a Fitbit, which you can see that I'm holding. I got it because her and Sarah Jessica Parker were talking.
Yes.
Immediately.
That SJP interview was so good.
Yep.
You know, I actually heard that the Orange County women don't do podcasts, you know? Like, that's like a rumor going around. And
why?
I know. And I literally, like, my argument is always, Gwyneth Paltrow has a podcast now. So you're telling me that the Orange County women wouldn't do a podcast?
Oh, if they don't want to sound too...
Like, the Orange County women say that they think they're above podcasts.
Entitled. Right. Yeah, everyone can do it.
And I'm like, if Gwyneth Paltrow has a podcast, are you telling me Shannon Bedore is not going to go on Gwyneth's podcast?
Yeah.
Come on.
To sell those salmons?
I did a lot of research
on
that.
We'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about that. So anyway, that's like, I don't know what's going to scroll through on that video, Alexa, but I want to talk about this episode. It was sort of boring to me, and I've been really liking Orange County the past couple weeks, but this episode, it was like all based on QVC, so I'm going to try to turn my mood on it around. Like, I'm going to try to flip it around.
Okay.
Please feel free to be as negative as you like.
Okay, so tell me, what are your OC thoughts? Thoughts, not thoughts. Am I saying that right? What are your Orange County thoughts?
Gina should break up with
him. Stay with
have
Gina.
You seen, have you Google image searched him?
It's a Google alert for him.
An Adonis.
Yeah, he's stunning.
He's so stunning.
Yeah, and we are not getting any of him.
No.
Like, we're not seeing, not a bit.
He's like Long Island. Like, I have a fetish, you know, of the outer borough and like, you know, New Jersey, like, if those guys, if they wear like gold chains and they lift weights and they have that
gorilla
that tri-state accent, oh my god, that's a jackpot for me.
That's funny.
100%.
Yeah, she's stunning, and we're not getting not even a flash up of a picture. It's like we have to all be fucking Harriet the Spy online to look for photos
of
him.
She said it was because of his quote unquote job. It's not because of his job.
Right.
You guys will all see the truth. We'll all see the truth.
Stop it!
Stop it!
This episode, it was just sort of slow, but I will say, okay, to flip it around, to flip my mood around, I will say that there were two things in this episode that I thought were some of the funniest we've seen.
Yeah.
Across franchises.
Yes.
The one being Vicky on the motorcycle.
No. That was great.
I love anytime Vicky's in danger. Anytime it's like,
oh, with the, oh, wait, on the ropes? The that ropes was course. Nuts.
I know. My finger! My finger!
What? It can't be that bad. And also,
the wind!
They're tied to harnesses.
No, Chris,
that's
wait.
What no one understands. They were tied to harnesses, wait, Chris, the whole time.
I need to stop you right there because I did this ropes course. I went and did it.
The OC
the
ropes
OC
course.
The OC ropes course. Like this okay. exact ropes course. And okay. it is scarier than I imagine. And the guy who walked us through it, he said
yeah.
that they didn't actually do it. They just hoisted them up to certain points of the rope course right. and then filmed even. Them and then they brought
took
them down.
Yeah.
There was the guy said there was one person that did it all the way through and he said it was Vicky, but I think he got a mixed up. Like he didn't know Vicky from Tamara. It was Tamara, right?
Yeah.
But it really was harder because here I am defending Vicky. I hate Vicky.
No one likes anyone. I asked my friends, right. I was like, who's your favorite on the show? Who should I look out for this season? They're like, no one. They're all monster demons.
Sure.
On TV.
Sure.
I don't know
sure,
who they are.
Sure. Yeah. No, I used to like Shannon a lot. Like I thought she made us good TV.
Yeah.
But this
no.
season, like I'm hating Shannon. Like
also, her tagline is like a threat. People say I'm too much, but I'm just getting started. I'm like, no,
right.
That should be a sign.
There was her rumored tagline or one of the taglines that was in contention was like, people said I needed to lose weight, so I divorced my husband. And wouldn't that have been a much better tagline? It was something like that. It was like, that's iconic. Right. It would have been amazing. But yeah, Shannon, I used to like really have a soft spot for her. And this season, I'm just finding her like such a Debbie Downer. And
yeah.
She always has been a Debbie Downer, but like this season especially.
She cries over everything.
Yeah. But back to Vicky on this motorcycle.
Okay.
First of all, they went off to the Harley store.
Yeah.
And they did a little flashback where Vicky was talking to her office manager, Linda, who she was asking her, Linda, like, have you ever ridden a bike? And then Linda told a story. And I wrote my notes that Linda's a star. I need more of Linda, like have her join the cast because we've seen her before and she's amazing. But when Vicky's on this motorcycle and she's screaming, I thought, how did she have children?
I don't know.
Every like little physical thing that happens to Vicky is like the worst thing that could
she
happen.
Also said something that was strange. She was like, after my two divorces, right? She said that like, you know, I have to compromise about everything. So if he wants to ride a bike, that's what I'm doing.
Right.
It's not even like his interest that he's allowed to pursue independently. And her reasoning for that is that he's so hot. Steve is right. so hot that she can't, that he can't allow to be, he can't be allowed to be in a biker bar alone. Which is insane to me.
Insane. I mean, a couple weeks ago, she compared him to George Clooney.
Yeah.
It's like, what's happening?
Yeah, like he manifested when he was walking in the bar and asking for a Diet Coke, she was like, look at him. Who would blame him? He's a 60-year-old man.
I know, and not an attractive 60. I mean, no, he's like he's an average 60.
Yeah, and it's not even a hard 60. Like, he looks good for his age. He's not like a very fine
60. Like an yeah. okay 60.
A serviceable 60.
Right,
yes.
Right, but not someone that we're all going to be swooning over. And even in that Harley, that Harley outfit when they were on the bike, I just felt like, oh, man, really? Like, Steve was not doing it for me there.
I could hear the leather just like moving like against the microphone the whole time. And I was like, none of this feels natural.
I also wondered, there was like a lot of noises of Vicky on the bike. And I thought like, did they have her do ADR for that? Because it was like, what? I don't think that the microphones would have picked it up.
I always think of ADR when like those MTV documentaries about horror movies. When Freddie Prinze or like
I love Freddie Prinze,
Neve Campbell or whatever, or Courtney Cox were like in the booth during action scenes and like being chased by a guy with a knife or a hook, and they'd be like, and it would be them manifesting. So the idea of Vicky doing that, like, I choose to believe that now. Vicky, thank you.
Vicky went into the studio and they're just like, okay, now scream now. She's like, no,
the guttural, like, yeah. It's
so
intense.
Then we cut to Shannon, who's getting her getting ready for QVC. And it felt like the whole episode was about her. The whole thing was surrounded about this QVC.
Yeah.
And I was thinking back, I don't know, did you watch the Heather Dubrow seasons?
No.
I feel like you would have liked Heather Dubrow.
Really?
Yeah.
She was the one who was in the QVC cutaway, right?
Right.
The flashback, yeah.
Right. And I was thinking like, okay, when Heather Dubrow went on QVC, it wasn't a big deal. It was one scene.
It's her job, yeah.
It was one scene, and it was a lovely scene or whatever, but it didn't feel like the whole episode was about that.
Right.
And this feels like the whole episode's about Shannon TV.
Well, like Lisa Rinna.
Right.
When she goes on to talk about her new clothing line, it's like at the beginning of the episode, it's like, that's it. This is how
I provide
for my family in between acting jobs and doing this. And like, she's like, this is it. I'm great.
Right.
I love that. But yeah, Shannon just seems so tentative and like in a long, you know, she's like in a rough
fucking microwave.
Yeah. Well, also she skews so negative. Like Vicky was great on the roast, but Shannon was arguably worse because she was like, I can't do this.
I'm going to die.
Yeah. My upper body isn't strong enough. And I was like,
I have no core.
I have no core. Oh, God.
I mean, Shannon.
Poor girl.
I know. And I don't know. That's what I'm thinking.
So, she needed to be built up to get to go on QVC. My God.
But I just didn't know have I been blind to Shannon's like Debbie Downer-ishness?
No, I saw it. Maybe you have, but like it's plainly
been
evident. Yeah.
I haven't. People would always say like, I hate Shannon. Like people would DM me because people DM me their opinions all the time. And I would always be like, I love Shannon. And now this episode, I was like, God, I fucking hate Shannon.
Yeah. I mean, when Kelly was just like, here, eat some more. You're not done yet. That flashback. And she was like, I wasn't eating anyway.
Not my plate, you bitch.
Just like that. I get why. First of all, Kelly seems to just come for everybody. But I also, I see why Shannon is given a hard time.
Right.
Because like people got to run out of patience with that stuff.
Right. Now they did a flashback to David being awful to Shannon. Do you? Okay. So when I had Jerry O'Connell on the show and he asked if I'm attracted to David Bedore.
Yes.
And I'm posing this question to you.
Okay.
So would you have David Bedore?
No.
Okay. There it is. You heard it here first.
Twist. The guy that...
Who would you most have sex with?
That Shannon went on a blind date with, I thought was
Tom,
a...
Yeah, Tom, I think
a,
was his name.
Yeah, Tom. Tom is a fox.
100% agree.
Tom
I don't
can get
know
it.
Why Tom and why Shannon didn't have sex with Tom. It would have been like a nice little way to get over David.
Yeah.
He was very attractive. Did he have some cats or something? She said he had a bunch of cats. Maybe.
You know, I would get twice weekly injections. Like if he took care of me, you know, I would deal with my cat allergies. You know, that's what you got
to
do.
Yeah, you do what you have to do.
But no, Gina's husband, Matt.
We'll say Matt.
Matt is the number one. He's the number one.
Even though we haven't even seen a video of him. We haven't even seen him moving.
We haven't even seen him holding the children.
You've seen like in the two photos of him online.
Yeah. He's actually more sight unseen than who was the woman who was like on a Roni. She was like, I'm Asian and a Jew.
Jules. Yeah.
Her husband. That was... The mute. He seemed like he was... He refused to speak on camera.
No, it's just awful what she just did to me. I feel so bad I can't even concentrate because my dad sounds like he's not even coherent.
So hurtful what she just said to me.
You know what? I have to tell you something. There are bigger things in life, too. Who cares?
Matt is even more hidden away, and I'm more upset.
Do you think you're more attracted because he's a mystery? Or like, do you like the mystery of it all? Or you just like the two photos?
Yeah, I just like what I found.
You know what? I don't disagree. I think he's stunning. And those two photos, like literally, they'll probably pop up on that Alexa. They're saved in my phone.
Okay.
So speaking of people that don't want to be on camera, I was watching at the gym the other day. They were playing like old episodes of Orange County. Mm-hmm. And Eddie... Somebody on Twitter actually said this. I think it was like Jeff Venuti, I don't know if I'm saying his name right, but I saw he posted on Twitter. He said, Eddie in the olden days looked so much more vibrant. And then I was watching him in this episode and I was thinking I know he's going through some health troubles.
Right.
But he just seems like he's just so uninterested in being on camera. And it's like, let him go through his health struggles off camera. We don't need to see it.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to see it. He doesn't want us to see it.
No. And that, look, we understand that. Yeah. I think someone who could be a little less camera loving is Shane, but we can get to Shane literally at any time.
No, let's talk about Shane now.
Dive into Shane. So I have a theory that I posed on Twitter that I think most people agreed with. I mean, the three people that were in the same thread as me.
Sure.
But when Kelly came for Shane after Steve walked away.
You dork.
Yeah, you dork. She wanted to call him a
Do you think she totally did and they cut did. It out?
No.
That scene of Kelly Dodd watching her daughter practice theater or do theater warm-ups doing her their activities.
It was just the warm-up. Yeah, she didn't even see the audition.
I laughed so hard because Kelly had the church giggles watching these children do theater warm-ups.
Just the warm-up.
The warm-ups. The camera was on her. Like, she knew, she got mic'd and makeup'd for camera, and she still laughed at her daughter. At these children. It was one of the most shocking things I've ever seen on camera.
Yeah.
Her daughter. And it was just so, I mean, it was so hysterical, and that poor girl is going to have to watch it back.
Yeah, Jolie.
Oh, poor Jolie.
One of my favorite things was like, hey, Jolie and Chanel. That was towards the end, but like, oh my God, these kids' names.
Wait, speaking of kids, I didn't mention this, but so Shannon and Tamara, they went to Philly to do the QVC appearance with one of Shannon's daughters.
Right.
And on the way to the airport, this was just a little thing, but it really made me laugh. Shannon said, what's this thing about Wednesday, the world's going to end? And
it was that about a court decision?
I feel like it was one of those like fake stories that circulates on Facebook that popped up on Shannon's phone, and she's like asking
Russian bots.
It just made me laugh that like Shannon asked her daughter on camera and that they included it in the episode. And it reminded me, did you watch The Hills?
No.
Chris.
I know.
What the fuck?
So why? I heard
what are you
people
doing with
say,
your time?
I was watching movies and scripted television.
You were watching
Isn't
Gwyneth
nuts?
Paltrow things.
Yeah. That's crazy to me. Now it's crazy to me because I can't sit through scripted television anymore.
Yeah.
I see all the bells move. Like, I see all of the machinations turning.
Sure.
With reality TV, as much as they're trying to create a narrative off camera, you know, the producers like sort of making everyone upset, I think that there's something about this where you really don't know what's going to happen, how people are going to react.
Right.
So I kind of like that.
Okay, so you didn't watch The Hills. But anyway, the listeners, if they watched The Hills, there was like a deleted scene where Audrina, are you at least familiar with
Audrina? I'm definitely familiar with all of them, yes.
Okay. You know, it was always funny because like the cast members always had to like make the storylines back, relate them back to Lauren because she was the star.
Right.
So there was a deleted scene where Audrina's talking to someone and they're talking about, the girl says the world's supposed to end. And they're talking about the world ending. Apparently, there was a story back then about the world ending.
Okay.
Okay, and they're talking about it in the deleted scene.
Do you know the world's supposed to end? They just started this, like, in Geneva, this particle accelerator that's, like, 300 feet underground, and they are smashing particles into each other, trying to create black holes.
Why are they doing that?
Because they want to figure out how we're here. They want to prove the Big Bang and that matter can come out of nothing.
Crazy how all this is happening while Lauren's gone. She has no clue.
Isn't that how it usually works? She leaves and her whole world falls apart. And then she comes back, she's like, yeah.
It's gonna be a lot of catching up to do.
It's just so crazy that all this is happening while Lauren's not here. Like the world's ending and this girl's telling Audrina this whole long story about the world ending. And then Audrina's response is, it's just so crazy. So let's talk about this scene of Gina with her parents at the restaurant. Now, her parents are visiting and Gina tells them that she's getting divorced. You know, she's explaining this whole thing to them. And what really bugged me about this was she said, I need some new friends. I met a girl named Tamara because I need new friends because Matt and I are divorcing. And so she introduced me to some other new friends. And I hate that 11, 12 seasons, 13 seasons into this franchise, we're still acting like she just happened to make friends with these people. I wish she would just say,
I was paid. I'm on this show.
Right. I joined the cast.
They have to invite me, so I'm going over. Yeah.
That's the thing that bothers me most. I feel like we're in this enough. And occasionally these housewives, they will break the fourth wall occasionally, right?
Yeah.
But I think that's an opportunity where we should have broken the fourth wall. And we need to stop this pretending because that's the moment where I'm totally taken out of the drama. Yeah. Because I'm thinking she's bullshitting her parents and she's like trying to word this so weirdly.
She's also bullshitting everyone about why she's getting divorced. I mean, that's
right,
you know.
Right, right.
That's
but like,
also, yeah.
To say, like, I got cast on this show.
Because I talk funny.
Right. Oh, so then we cut to Emily with her mother-in-law and she talks about having trouble with her. What was that? I don't even remember what that was. I'm going to cut
this
out.
She wanted... No. This is what happened. No, don't cut it out. She wanted her daughter to have a sister because she was very close with her sister. She keeps on bringing up this narrative, and then she brought up the twins that she had that she miscarried.
Right, she lost the twins in labor.
She lost the twins, and you know, nurses were crying. That did sound absolutely horrible. Like
totally.
A complete nightmare.
And I always love when they sort of sprinkle in these backstories of a serious situation, because it gives us another color of these women, and I like it.
I also thought the mom is the best character on the show right now. Right. The Mormon Persian, God knows what she... You know, like, she has the best makeup artist of the whole cast.
You know what I love most is that she came in for this one scene, you know, and she was totally in a ball gown, like, she, full makeup.
No, it was like a lingerie top and then pants. And they were like skin tight pants and sky high heels. And she was just like, yes, you're miscarriages. And I'm just like, wow, I love you.
The best thing for any of these reality shows is when you watch someone who's clearly only going to be in one scene and they are in a totally different outfit than what the scene calls for, because they're like, they got called to do filming and they're like, I don't know what I'm supposed to wear. And then they're like, wear something insane.
Yep.
For their one shot. One shot on TV.
Just like, I have a charity for poor people. He's my favorite. What's his name?
Wait, who?
On Roni, the guy. The really tall guy. He was
Ray.
How did you know, you bitch?
You know, you bitch.
I mean, that's an iconic.
Ray's a star.
One scene.
We got a little flashback to Ray in the news in the most recent season. It was fantastic.
I have a charity that helps poor people.
That's good.
Give me a few drinks.
You do have a girlfriend, right?
I do. Just shut up. Don't tell Luann.
I'm not telling Luann anything.
You're looking jealous.
My girlfriend's really hot.
So Luann.
He took Luann away to a trip. It was a disaster. I had met Ray with Luann during the summer. She was dating him. They just This party is pretty boring. So if Ray has some gossip about Luann, I'm all ears.
That was Ibiza?
Yes.
No, that was Ibiza. How does she know? How do you know? No, wait. How do you know?
Because I have friends in Ibiza.
Who? What do you have in Ibiza?
Oh, so then we get Vicky and Gina who meet for coffee.
Yes.
And they talk through their issues.
This is a surprising moment.
This was a nice little connection,
surprising moment.
Now, Vicky, the whole episode, the whole season, ever since Vicky's been on screen, she keeps talking about how she shouldn't have divorced Don. What do you think Steve's thinking?
I broke Don's heart.
Did you? she said, I wish someone would have me and told me not to divorce him.
I mean, what I wish they would have told her is, well, actually they did. They're like, you're having sex with him and you're attracted to him and you say he's your best friend. Stay married. What do you not? That is a reason to stay married.
It makes no, Gina's divorce makes no sense.
No.
She said, I don't look at divorce like it's so terrible. And it's like, why? Why don't you?
Like, the Kardashians make divorces into like business propositions, but that's not
Gina. Feel like they think of it more seriously than Gina does. It's like weird to me.
It's so casual.
I don't understand this casual look at divorce. And then like sometimes when she was talking to her parents and she did try to make it seem like she was more emotional about it. It ringed false to me.
Yeah.
But I love every single scene that Vicky regrets divorcing Don.
Yeah. As much as she finds Steve to be a hot piece of ass, biker ass, like, she's just like, yeah, but, you know, fucked that the last one up. Wow.
She kept telling Gina, like, these canned phrases, like, you're going to create your own destiny. Reach for the stars.
Yeah. I love when Gina said to Vicky, I don't know if this, I'm paraphrasing, but she was like, you have to forgive yourself more.
Right.
And I was like, are you talking to Vicky?
She also told Vicky, you're great at insurance.
Yeah.
You're really great at insurance.
Oh my God. That flashback in the beginning of the episode. I want Kodo everywhere, all over this wall.
Give me more Kodo.
When
they were ending that scene too, Vicky was like giving her a hug and she's like, I'm glad we had this talk. You're going to need health insurance.
Yeah, right. Right.
You're going to need it. Oh, so then we're at Shannon in the Shannon's at QVC.
Oh, wait. So I have to say that I love an OC housewife and their like children's East Coast fashion sense.
Explain.
Fur vests. Are like, because the daughter wanted to wear one and then Tamara brought her own black fur vest.
Tamara's got a whole closet.
the knee-high boots. It is wild to think
the Orange County fashions
who,
are wild.
They are wild.
Totally crazy.
They're really wild.
And since the beginning.
Kelly's house. Kelly's new rented house with the non-banana leaves inspired by the Beverly Hills Hotel.
Right.
In that 70s,
tough. Yeah. Very tough.
Tough.
It reminded me of one of those things, like, you know, that used to come in the Sunday paper when I was a kid. Or I remember, like, those seeing eye things that you put really close to your eye, and then you move them back, and you can, like, see something
new.
Oh,
yes.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Totally.
Like, that's what her wallpaper reminded me. Like, when you, she probably, I feel like she just stares at it really close, and then slowly backs up, and there's just, like, an image, like, it just says dork, and it's an image of Shane.
Oh, God. No. No.
So, Shannon on, let's talk about Shannon on this QVC.
Let's do it.
So, I'll tell you.
She was great.
You thought she was good. Yeah.
I thought she was great.
You know what really bothered me is when they were, she was doing it and she dropped her card. She bent down and dropped her card.
Was it a card or a fork? Oh, it was her card.
I thought
card.
It was
okay.
like a blue card or something. Okay. But what bugged me was that, like, Tamara, the daughter, and then the QVC person backstage were like,
deal.
Oh, it was the funniest fucking thing Shannon's ever done. Yeah. Like, how dare she? And even in Tamara's confessional, she's like, I mean, what was she doing?
Yeah,
she
dropped the card. You just don't do that.
Yeah, it's going a mess. And it's like, is it going a mess? Like, you couldn't even see Shannon bend over to get
Tamara's,
it.
Tamara's interviews are an odd breed of...
Tamara does a lot of produce, what she thinks is producing, I
totally.
Think. And so I think that moment of her and her confessional being like, I couldn't believe Shannon did it. This is going a mess. It was like her trying to produce, and it's like, let's quit it. Well, okay, so I did some research on the QVC line.
How did it do?
You know, I mostly went to the website to see pricing. I'll be honest.
Okay, so how reviews. Much was the salmon and cream cheese?
So the salmon, there was like all the...
shrimp pasta. Oh, these
all
things.
Of the seafood ones. Let me see. I wrote it down. So for 9 10-ounce seafood meals.
10 ounces? That's a lot.
10 ounces, $110. So that's $12.22 per meal of a microwavable.
That's not
salmon.
Affordable.
I don't think it's affordable either. However, I did more research.
Okay.
For 12 4-ounce veggie burgers, $58 introductory price, which is $4.83 a burger. That's not bad.
Wait, burgers like plain? How much? Of,
I was
how
doing
much
math
of,
like Russell Crowe in A Beautiful Mind. Like I was, last night I was
no the to... Ariana Grande with the math overlaid over her. She's like, what?
I'm terrible at math. And last night I'm sitting there trying to figure it out. And I even had like my calculator out.
Yeah, no, I'm terrible with groceries and with math. Like I'm Jack Donaghy. Like, you know, how much does a gallon of milk cost? You know, $8. I'm really bad at it. But I think that there's something about this. I mean, veggie burgers, frozen veggie burgers at Trader Joe's cost like $3 for four.
Right, right.
I don't know. That's not a good low end.
I'm not a big fan of any sort of frozen meals. And now there's all those services like we get HelloFresh or like those kind of services where you can get the fresh stuff delivered for just as much, if not cheaper, than Shannon's meals.
I'm training right now for to be naked on screen in a couple months.
Oh my God, when can people see that? When, where?
It's shooting a movie.
For those of you listening at December. Home, he's very attractive.
Oh, stop.
In December, where can people get tickets?
No, it's shooting, so that it'll hopefully be released next year. But yeah, I'm on this trifecta.
Wait, so what kind of
these
nudity?
Trifecta meals? Oh, like a B-movie thriller comedy, and yeah.
But like full, I'm saying what kind of nudity?
Oh,
like
what kind of nudity? Oh yeah, full buff, yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Are you nervous?
No.
So you're saying you're not getting Shannon's meal plan?
No, definitely. I don't want salmon and cream cheese body. But she said the grossest thing. She was like, when you put your fork through the salmon, the cream cheese spills out onto the rice. And I was like, the handmade herb cream cheese, problematic sentence to begin with. Like pours out onto rice. Ugh. You're Italian, right?
Yeah, right.
I'm half Italian. I know that when you get shrimp, you don't put parmigiano all over it.
Right.
Who doesn't think that cream cheese in salmon isn't going to make you sick?
Shannon Medor from the Orange County.
Well, she's from the Midwest, right? That's what her accent is.
You know, I have no core. I have no core. Sorry, I'm shouting. What was I going to say? Oh, the QVC, it was tough to watch, but I kept comparing it to Rinna. Like, we talked about Rinna. It was like, all I could think about was Rinna and her duster. And I feel like Rinna's such a pro that it made Shannon just look pale in comparison.
Rinna goes on that stage and she's very like, I am the captain now. You know, she's like, she owns this.
She own it.
And
own
she
it, baby.
Works those products. Okay. She'll try it on. I love the runway stuff that she does.
Right.
You know, like Shannon can't do that.
It's my dream to be on QVC. Like, I would love to be one. I would love to be like a Rinna on QVC. Like,
yeah.
Or one of the gay hosts, you know, like just talk for 2 hours about a, you know, a handmade
precious moments doll.
I think that Gina, I should say this, in terms of the housewife style, Gina is not speaking very well for Long Island style.
Well, she's been in Orange County, so she's taken it up.
So it's been just, oh, maybe that's what it is.
Who do you think has the best style amongst all the housewives?
I hate to say this, but Kelly.
Kelly Dodd?
Kelly Dodd has the best style.
Across every franchise?
Oh, no, not across every franchise. Okay, oh my God, no. In New York,
you could say anywhere.
Of everywhere? I think Carol, the last two seasons.
Did you feel, were you Team Carol or Team Bethany?
It depended on the issue. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think when I heard about the restraining order, when I heard about the horrible things that he was doing with Brynn and she was crying all the time and Carol just like wasn't giving her the time of day, then I was like, you know what? Have a heart. They've been through a lot. But then she just kept making everything about her. I wouldn't roll my eyes the way that Carol almost did, but... Mm-hmm. I would be like, I need to take a break from you. This is bad energy.
It's an exhausting friend. And you mentioned bad energy. And I think it is so important when you have friends that are kind of sucking it out of you.
Yeah.
You do have to take a step back.
Like Shannon, everyone.
Right. Like Shannon
for everyone. Shannon for everyone. Everyone.
And that's why I feel like if these women weren't on a TV show with Shannon, they probably would have all stepped back.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing with the longer the Housewives franchise, these people that have been on TV together for 10 years, they just don't like each other.
No.
They don't like each other anymore.
No.
Ramona and Bethany, there's no reason for them to even contemplate trying to mend the... There's no point.
I know, but they can never get rid of Ramona because she's a star. She's the star.
So problematic.
But they still are pretending to be friends. And Vicky and Tamra, they hate each other. They're pretending.
Vicky and Tamra, I'm not sure.
Oh, so you think sometimes they like each other.
If Tamra's, straddling... Vicky, I know you don't like the Housewives, doing physical comedy, but like, I think that there's something about Tamra crawling over Vicky. Like, they didn't even like each other a little bit.
It's not that I hate physical comedy amongst these women. I just don't want, like, if Shannon drops the blue card, I don't want Tamra to act like she's on the set of Will and Grace.
She didn't just drop the card. She squatted down to pick up the card. It was a very...
behind a thing. It was like, we didn't really... The audience...
But the visual was... She didn't... She was like...
For those of you listening, Chris just did a... He did... He improvised
a full squat. I don't know. That did look odd to me. But it was not a deal breaker like Tamra made it out to be, but...
They weren't at a taping of Will and Grace. Like, it wasn't that funny. Yeah. So, Chris... That was the end of the, it. Ended with Kelly calling in to order one of the. Kelly Dodd was doing an impression of Vicky, which sounded like an impression of Leanne Locken. She's like, "I'll have the salmon," and she thought it was like such a good impression. But I love Kelly. Makes me laugh.
But Kelly Dodd also has a very deep voice.
Right.
Kelly Dodd has the surfer dude tomboy voice.
Dork.
There's a cougar loose in the OC. I'm like,
it's kind of now that you're doing it. It's kind of Romy from. It's a little bit Romy from Romy Michelle.
Yes. Right? No, it's a California, here's a cougar loose in the OC. Like, it's the rounding of the vowels that is very much like my favorite show, Love Island. Mm. The rounding of the vowels and the overpronunciation of things for the people that are outside London, that's who the entire cast is.
Right.
That's what the OC sounds like. Chris, unnecessary.
This was so fun.
It was.
Even though I will say, the episode wasn't great.
It was not. I think Shannon wanted to have this moment. She's like, I got divorced, but I found me.
My core!
She didn't find that. She didn't find that. She didn't find her core, but she found herself? No. She didn't find a career because she sold some frozen meals, which we have no...
P.S. I don't think that Shannon was really instrumental in creating this line of goods. I feel like QVC came to her. It was like
disgustingly, she cut open the bag and was like shaking out the hot food that's covered in the plastic.
Ugh.
Sick. Cream cheese and salmon.
I'll probably order some as soon as we get off.
But it was a very Felicity Covington like moment that she gave herself, which was so undeserved. Where she was like, "I got a divorce. I came here for Ben, but I found me." No,
right,
you didn't.
Right. It was a little too dramatic. It was like, "Come on, Shannon, you signed up for this QVC deal and just appeared on screen." Anyway, Chris, tell me about yourself. So you have. Tell me about all your projects.
I have
a nude scene coming.
I have. Yeah, working towards. I'm a writer and filmmaker, so I have a web series called Baker Daily.
So brilliant, so funny.
Thank you so much, yes. Danny. I really appreciate it. I attack all of my Twitter friends to watch it. This is the first time we're meeting in person.
Right.
You're
right.
Wonderful. Oh, thank you for having too. Me in your beautiful home.
Of course, where
with
can
your
people,
video Alexa.
Where can people find you on social media?
Baker C, Baker Do, B-A-K-E-R. S-E-E-B-A-K-E-R-D-O.
How did you come up with Baker C?
I'm not a monkey, but there was something that just occurred to me because everybody calls me Baker. And I don't know. I see it, I go do it.
So where can people find Baker Daily?
BakerDaily.com. It's also on YouTube and Funny or Die.
Very important.
And I have a video coming out where my character goes to BeautyCon and tries to get a read on the beauty industry and looks for Kylie Jenner. And that's coming out this week. And so you guys should check it out.
So follow Chris on social media. Chris, thank you so much. I love you. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you, Danny.
I appreciate it. Okay, guys, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back. We'll talk Dallas. We're going to have a quick chat with Stephanie Holman of The Real Housewives of Dallas. We also need to mention Misha Barton joining The Hills reboot. I'm shook. So let's take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Dallas and Stephanie.
This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Okay, guys, did you read the news that The Hills reboot is gaining Misha Barton? I mentioned that I'm shook, and it's honest. Honest to God, I could not believe it. Now, I figured they were going to add someone from that early aughts time period, and Misha Barton actually, now that they announced it, it's like, oh yeah, that sort of makes sense. However, I don't know. I'm very curious to see how her connection is going to be with the rest of the cast. Like, did she know Audrina? I mean, they must have all hung out at Ledoux at some point, correct? I mean, I can only assume that she was at Ledoux the night that Lauren and Heidi said, you know what you did.
You know why I'm mad at you?
Why, Lauren?
You know why I'm mad at you.
Why?
You know what
why?
You did.
What did I do?
You know what
you did.
What did
I do?
What?
You know, so she must know these kids. I'm excited to see how it works out, and I'm still cautiously optimistic about this Hills reboot. I don't know. So let's talk Dallas. We're going to have a quick conversation with Stephanie Holman, who I'm loving. I mentioned she's been so honest and open about her mental struggles, and I feel like anytime anyone can talk about that, you know, I've told you guys before, I suffer from anxiety and depression. And so it's just been so refreshing to see her talk openly about it. So I'm excited to have a chat with her, and we'll maybe ask her a couple pop culture questions. And did you guys watch this week's Dallas? Oh my God, it was so good. So first of all, Cam's kids know Spanish fluently. That was a pleasant surprise, right? Like, I didn't know that. Cam does not know Spanish as well as the children. I mean, she just kept saying, she said she knows the animals. She's like, I know El Polo. Like, it's not a polo match. It's El Pollo. But I love that the kids know it fluently. She's right. Everyone should know it. I totally agree with that. Then we also get to know Deandra's other stepson. Deandra. I promise I'll start saying Deandra. Deandra. But we get to meet Deandra's other stepson, Cohen, which is spelled with a K. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I was shocked to know that all of Deandra's stepkids have K names, like the Kardashians. I did not know that. It's Cohen, and then the other one's name is Keaton, all spelled with Ks. It's a very bootleg Kardashian, and I'm here for it. I love it. And when Dee arrived at the house, I got chills, because we haven't seen Dee and Deandra together in a few weeks. And on camera this week, they said they haven't spoken for 4 weeks. 4 weeks is a lot. And they flashed back to that convo of Dee telling Deandra that she's jealous.
And I can watch that every day of my life. It's so good. And Dee even got a confessional look this week. She's in all pink. Cam obviously styled her. But it's like, we need more confessionals from Dee. I was loving it. I screamed when she came in and screamed. I let out the biggest gay gasp that the world has ever heard when I saw Dee in a confessional. I loved it. I loved it. We also see, speaking of Steph, we see her take Cruz to a hip-hop class. And of course, I had flashbacks of Luann and Noel in hip-hop class from the Real Housewives of New York. You know, that footage haunts Noel to this day. And I was worried about Stephanie's kids. I don't want them to haunt them. But it was cute. It was nice seeing them go to this class. I liked it. And then the big meat of the episode was that dog painting party. It was just so, such a great idea. It was a great way for Cam to introduce her pink dog food to the cameras. Again, reintroduce. And then, you know, these women, they were painting pictures and they had the kids around. And the kids were so cute. They were like, you know, flirting with each other, playing with each other. It was really adorable to watch. And then the parents were just painting the dogs. And, you know, one of the things I always say about Dallas is they do embrace the blue humor. You know, they do embrace the poop humor. And at one point, Leanne just said on camera, she said, the dog took a dump. That was the verbiage she used. And just hearing Leanne say dump, you know, you don't hear that on New York or Beverly Hills. In New York, the girls take a dump on camera, but they don't mention it. On New York, it's called the ultimate gift. But on Dallas, it's just called a dump. And so I loved watching that. Just like, you know, the animals were running around. And Leanne also ate a dog biscuit, which I'd watch that for hours. I don't know. It was a good episode, you guys. I really loved it. There's still a lot of cracks between the Deandra and Leanne relationship. I think we're going to see that really break down even more in the coming weeks. But it's intense. And I do feel like Deandra's going too hard on Leanne. Like, she's so obsessed with this wedding date and everything. It's just a little too much for my liking, you know, and I'm very protective of Leanne. So let's get Stephanie on the line. We're going to chat with her about what's to come, all that stuff. I love Stephanie so, so much. So let's chat with her. And while we get Stephanie on the line, I want to play a clip from earlier this season where Stephanie was opening up and talking to her mother about an experience she had in her early 20s. So then we're going to come back and talk to Stephanie about it. But I do want to put in a little warning. If you're sensitive, please just know that we're going to be talking about mental health and also suicide as well. So please just turn it off or fast forward if you're sensitive to that kind of thing. But I wanted to play this clip because I just found it so impactful and profound.
I told her that I had tried to commit suicide when I was 22, which you were there for. I was with a guy who didn't make me feel like a worthy person. I never felt pretty enough. I never felt good enough. And I was always judged. And we broke up, and it was like I lost my friends, and I just couldn't handle it, and I need a minute. Sorry. I don't talk about this. I don't tell people that stuff a lot.
Of course not. That's not table.
Because it's pretty
packages. It's not table talk.
People like pretty packages in life. It's just the way life is. I remember going to the bathroom and finding a bottle of pills, and I remember taking them all, laying down on my bed. My mom was home, so I stumbled into her room and told her what I'd done. And then she called the ambulance.
And I still thank you for coming to me.
Yeah, of course. This is Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie. It's Danny Pellegrino. How are you?
Hi, Danny. I'm good. How are you?
I want to thank you so much for chatting with me. You have quickly become one of my favorite housewives. You have just been such a breath of fresh air, particularly this recent season. I just want to thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that. That means the world to me. And I appreciate it so much because the response this year has been so overwhelmingly positive and kind. And I do not understand it, but I'm very appreciative of it.
Well, I think you've been particularly open this season, and I want to ask you some maybe a few deeper questions, and then I'll get a little bit lighter later. But
absolutely,
you've been so honest and open about your mental health, and I think it's so important for anyone in the public eye to talk about it openly. Were you nervous to share, particularly your suicide attempt, or were you nervous to share any of that stuff on air this season?
Oh my goodness, yes! It's so different whenever you film because you're with a crew and producers that you're so comfortable with. And I just became very comfortable and was able to open up to them. But whenever you're counting the days for it to come out on TV, it's very different because I felt very nervous about being judged or people thinking that I was crazy. And you just never know what people will say. And it was something that was, you know, something that mattered to me. It was hard and I'd never really had dealt with, especially the suicide attempt at 22. I'd never had dealt with it. It just happened.
Right.
It was a really dark time in my life. And I felt like I really hadn't, I told maybe five people, Brandy knew, Travis knew, mm-hmm. a few close friends, my mom, of course, but it was something I was very ashamed of. Mm-hmm. So sharing something shameful was hard for me.
Right. And what kind of response have you heard from viewers?
I would say that was probably the most, strangely, the most healing for me and positive. I've gotten so many positive responses from viewers. It was amazing. I've had people that have dealt with the same thing I had, people who have lost loved ones to suicide. I had one woman the night the show aired whose husband had just left her and her three kids for another woman. And she said that she had written out her suicide note and was going to kill herself that night. And she watched the show and decided not to. Wow. And that to me showed me that even something like reality TV, like the Housewife show, can really impact people's lives in a very positive and profound way. And it was by far the most amazing thing I've ever put out there. And as scary as it was, I am so happy I did because it taught me a lot about myself too.
Right. I mean, it was just so powerful. And, you know, I think the Housewives, we love to see the drama and the fighting and the beautiful houses, but it's nice to see different little layers to you guys.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
So what advice would you give your younger self who is going through such a dark time?
Oh my goodness. It's, you know, honestly, it's so funny because this year I felt like I had, it's going to sound kind of crazy, but I felt like I had dealt with that 22-year-old girl more than ever, because I really kind of mourned that time. It was so humiliating. I never went back and thought about that time and how sad and lonely and depressed that girl was. So I don't know. I feel like I just gave her, I was like, it's okay. And I think now when things happen, and I do deal with depression, I've dealt with it my entire life, but when things happen and I get overwhelmed and a dark cloud comes over me, I just take it day by day, because I feel like if you look at life as, okay, I'm going to get through today and then tomorrow is another day and then I'll just take it one day at a time, it's something that your mind can wrap around. But if you're in a really dark place and you can't fathom being that way a month from now, then that's whenever I feel like things become overwhelming. And and for me, that's kind of how it was when I was going through that depression when I was younger, because I wasn't looking at, okay, I just have to make it through today. Right. I was looking at, I can't live like this for the rest of my life, and I can't feel like this for the rest of my life.
Right, right.
So well, I would say, yeah, and life gets so much better. Look at my life now. I have two beautiful boys, an amazing husband, and I live a wonderful life. And it's not because we have money. It's because I found happiness within myself, and I have a beautiful family and something greater than myself.
Right. Well, on another note, I'm also very attracted to Travis this season.
Oh, thank you.
did he do like a new wardrobe or something, or did he spice something up? I feel like,
oh my goodness, you know,
he's looking fresh.
Thank you. Season one and two, like he's very funny because I feel like he just kind of wore whatever he wanted. And then he did like actually go out and try to have somewhat of a wardrobe. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so he tries a little bit harder now, because I think sometimes he'll see himself and he's like, you know, oh my gosh, why did you let me walk around the house like that? And I'm like, babe, I mean, I'm not your boss. You can wear whatever you want. So no, he's definitely, I feel like you always kind of critique yourself, and he definitely did and stepped it up a little bit.
Well, tell him I noticed.
Thank you. I will.
So I'm also obsessed with your spa room. How often do you use that whole spa area? And also, how often do you use the coffee maker that's in the bathroom area?
I use the coffee maker every day. It's the first thing I do when I wake up. I take a shower, make my coffee. And we have a sauna. I use the sauna about 3 to 4 times a week. And then the hot tub, we have a hot tub in there as well. I don't use that as much, but my boys use it all the time. there's like a little fireplace and a couch and then a TV there. So the boys will sit in the hot tub, kind of play and watch TV. And then that's kind of my time to like read and relax. So the bathroom is used more than you would think. It's used a lot.
It's stunning. Like my dream on my vision board, it's just to go to your bathroom.
Oh, well, come on over anytime.
I will. Now, you and Brandy, you guys met through your husbands. What was your first impression of Brandy? Do you guys get along right away?
So Brandy was the first person I met whenever Travis and I started dating. And I remember going to dinner with her and Brian because Travis and Brian were best friends. And I can tell you, without a doubt, I fell in love with Brandy before I fell in love with Travis. Like, it was like that like soul sister that I had never found and always wanted. And we laughed the entire dinner. We had so much fun together. And it was just, I think the best thing about Brandy is like with everyone that she meets, she makes you feel like you're like a 5-year-old again. Like mm-hmm. you have fun and you can be silly and goofy. And there's something really amazing and wonderful about that whenever you're in your mid-30s and
right.
with children and all that.
Yeah. We also see you getting along with Leanne this season, and I love Leanne on the show. What changed that made you want to become friends with her or get closer with her?
Yeah. You know, I would say that that was probably, I think it was a little bit of both of us. I think we finally, for the first time in years, actually sat down and kind of put our guard down and got to know each other for who we really are. And I think before we had these preconceived notions of who we thought we were, you know, like I thought she was scary right. and aggressive and like, she just overwhelmed me and I never felt safe to be her friend. And I think for her, we have very mm-hmm. different personalities.
Now I ask everyone this, what's your favorite Mariah Carey song?
Baby Emotion.
Oh, such a good one. Oh, that's a good choice. That's a good choice. Now, if you were choosing for People Magazine, the sexiest man alive, and you couldn't pick Travis, like you had to pick an actor, celebrity, musician, who would you choose?
Ryan Reynolds, hands down. I love him.
Yeah, that's a great choice too. Finally, what's your favorite store to shop in? Like, is there a place that you love to just like go to and shop, like a Target, a Home Goods, or like somewhere that you just like to let loose in?
And I feel like I love Target because it kind of has everything. I can buy everything there. And you know what? I also love Costco mm-hmm. because of the same thing. Like I can go to Target and Costco and buy Home Goods, groceries, like anything and everything you could need, they have.
Right. Stephanie, as someone who deals with anxiety and depression, I just want to thank you again for opening up. This was so fun talking to you. I look forward to watching and I really appreciate you taking the time. Thank you so much. I want to thank everyone for listening to Everything Iconic. Please find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram and on Facebook. Please join the Everything Iconic Facebook group and rate and review this on iTunes if you like it. You guys, we will be back Monday with an all new Halloween pop dive and then something special for you guys next Thursday. So thank you guys again all for listening. I love you so, so much. Oh, and we got to do our cool down. So let's do our cool down. Everyone take a deep breath in. Breathe out. Take another deep breath in. Think of something that you're proud of yourself, something that you did last week, something that you did today. Breathe out. Now, I just want you guys to all feel good about that thing that you thought of when you were breathing in. Be proud of yourself today. Whatever it was, whatever you've accomplished, find something that you accomplished today, yesterday, this week, and be proud of it. Smile. Be happy. I love you all so much for listening. Bye.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.